Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, brought to you in part by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Once again, I am your host, as always, Gino Camilleri, joining you on this fine Monday, February 11th, and things are starting to heat up in the NFL. I know this is a little bit of the downtime. It's after all the Senior Bowl and all the superlative games for college. We're getting into this time period where there's a little bit of a lull, but the NFL is nothing but exciting. We got a lot of stuff going on. We're starting to march toward the NFL Combine. We're starting to march toward free agency. We're a little over a month away from free agency, and this Eagles team, there's going to be a lot of turnover. We know that. We've been preparing for it for a couple years as we move into this time where we're going to have to pay Carson Wentz soon enough, and from what everybody says, he's going to command a hefty price, and with the way these contracts are being talked about, that Pat Mahomes could get upwards of $200 million contract. Now would be the time to sign a guy like Carson Wentz before that value skyrockets, and we're going to get all into it today as we start to discuss a little bit of stay, who's going to go, and who could potentially be a cap casualty. So in the first segment, we're going to stick to the offense, see who's going to stay there. We'll move into the defense in the second part of the show. Closing up, we're going to talk about a couple cap casualties that I predict might be off of this roster just because of their cap hit come next year, but this Eagles team, we saw it last year, there were a couple faces that had to leave in free agency. This year, it's going to be even more turnover, and yes, it's going to be difficult seeing these guys leave, especially a lot of the guys that helped win us that Super Bowl. It definitely is emotional to see these guys go. Guys like Brandon Graham, if he's going to end up leaving, he was essential. We saw him rise up from when he was drafted to be a cast off almost and labeled as a bust to having to move to outside linebacker when Chip Kelly came here and then moving back to his more natural position and being the hero in the Super Bowl. It's definitely going to be difficult seeing these guys leave, but like everybody says, the NFL is a business. So with that, we are going to get into things, and why not get the elephant in the room out of the way? We're going to start it out at the quarterback position with Nick Foles. And you could basically say that Nick Foles is as good as gone at this point in time. It's just, how is he going to leave this team? Is it going to be via free agency, or is it going to be via a trade? And this could get very sticky with, if you put a franchise tag on him and you rescind the tag, you may be ineligible for getting a comp pick in 2020, and I know Howie Roseman does not like to get assets walking out the door for free, especially a former Super Bowl MVP and a quarterback that, frankly, is one of the top 20 quarterbacks in football. You know how I've said for the longest time that I think we have three of the top 45 quarterbacks in football at this current point in time, and Nick Foles is in the top 20. So for a team, you look around the league, a team that needs a quarterback that isn't too far off of competing in the playoffs. I think the perfect spot right now is Jacksonville. You look at their defense, a lot of them are probably going to become off of expired contracts or cap casualties in the upcoming years. Why not get a guy in there like Nick Foles that can make that team go? They invested a high draft pick in Leonard Fournette. They have a good offensive line. They bring in a couple weapons on the outside. Nick Foles in a John DeFilippo offense, we saw it last year, he could really flourish there. So if I had to predict right now, Lou and I are going to get into it, we'll talk more about this down the road, but if I had to predict right now, I think they end up placing a franchise tag on him. I think they've been talking with teams. I think Jacksonville doesn't want to allow him to get to free agency. I think we end up with a second round pick. I know there's talks that they want to get that third round pick as compensation, so we don't have to wait till next year for the compensatory pick, but get that third round pick now. I think there could be a bidding war, and I don't think it was just a slip of the tongue that it came out that saying that the Eagles want a third round pick. I think they want to get things rolling. Howie Roseman wants to get teams bidding, and quarterback, it's the most important position in football. I don't know if any of you watched the Alliance of American Football over the weekend, but you could see how bad the quarterback play was and how much of a toll it takes on the game of football. So from youth all the way up, quarterback is the most important, especially in the NFL. I think Nick Foles, he ends up on the Jaguars. He's good as gone. It's 99.9% that he leaves. something crazy could happen. Who knows? But Nick Foles, he's going. See you later. Thank you for everything, Nick. Can't thank you enough for winning us a Super Bowl. But this is a business. We can't afford to pay a backup $20 million at what the current price is. He has to go. We need the cap space. Thank you. See you later, Nick. Moving on to another quarterback, Nate Sudfeld. Not a UFA, but an RFA. I think this team is going to do everything in its power to lock Nate up. There is a reason that they stole him off of the practice squad from the Redskins. This team understands his talent, and like I said 30 seconds ago, I think he's one of the top 45 quarterbacks in football. I think you can continue to develop him. And teams around the league have nothing to say but good things about Nate Sudfeld. I think he's a perfect backup in the waiting behind Nick Foles. He learned how to be a backup from Nick Foles, and he's learning behind Carson Wentz. I think he's the perfect complement to Carson. He's been around this offense, this system, for a long time. I think he's going to end up on this roster next year, and probably for the next couple years. They could probably get an extension locked up for a 2 to 3 year deal. I can see that happening, because the Eagles like to have a safety net at backup quarterback. Nate, he will be quarterback 2 come this time next year. Moving on to the running back position, we'll start with Jay Ajayi. I think it's all said and done. He's going to be off of this team. You invested a fourth-round pick into him. You got everything you could have wanted and more out of him. He helped you and was essential in that Super Bowl run. Had some big carries throughout the season. Big carries in the playoffs. Big carries in the Super Bowl. But currently, he's an aging running back. And in terms of running backs, if you're over 25, you're aging. And they know the threat of his knees giving out at any time. There was a talk when he got traded out of Miami that they didn't trust his knees to hold up for more than 3 to 4 years. So it's tough to invest big money in that position, especially with the ideology that the Eagles run this running back by committee. So you can't really say that Jay Ajayi was the workhorse the way they use him, and I don't think he can keep up that workhorse mentality just with how his knees are. I think Ajayi is going to get a team-friendly deal somewhere. I don't think it's in Philadelphia, because you have Corey Clement, you have Josh Adams. I'm sure they're going to bring another young running back in during this draft, be it a Josh Jacobs, or you wait till the later rounds to get an Ozigbo. Who knows, but I just don't think Ajayi is in the cards for this team. But as for another running back, Darren Sproles, this one is one of the harder ones for me. I would like to see him go. Just frankly, he's getting up there in age. But you saw the contributions he made for this team. I think maybe one more year of Darren wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. I want to bring in youth at that position. I want Carson to get to mold a running back behind him, give him a safety net, give him a Todd Gurley, give him an Ezekiel Elliott, or just give him a back that can pick up a third and short or a fourth and short. I know Josh Adams didn't convert one of those this year. You need a bell cow guy. You need a guy you can rely on. I want to say they have enough in Corey Clement in the passing game, but Doug Peterson is enamored with Darren Sproles. Right now, it's a question mark for me. But I'd probably say 60% stay, 40% go. I'm leaning stay at the current point in time for Darren Sproles. Now we get into the wide receiver position, and this one saw some juice added to it today. A couple hours ago, I was waiting in line checking out at the grocery store, and I see a retweet on an Adam Schefter tweet from Golden Tate responding to a contract extension for a Dallas Cowboy. Who exactly was Bruce Carter, linebacker, one-year extension, and Golden Tate replies to Adam Schefter, not even quote tweets, and say, oh, so you don't have to wait until March to sign extensions. Interesting. Good to know, with a peace sign. So, it doesn't seem like things are all golden in Philadelphia right now, all pun intended. I don't think this team had the intention of bringing Golden back come this time this year. I think they knew exactly what they were getting in a third-round pick with an aging wide receiver in a market that, frankly, is one of the poorer wide receiver markets in the last couple years. And you have a lot of teams like the Buffalo Bills, like the New York Jets, like the Arizona Cardinals, teams with young quarterbacks that are going to have to bring in veteran wide receivers to help mold their quarterback. And I think Golden is going to be the gem of this class. I don't see the Eagles being able to afford him, and I don't see his skill set being needed in this offense, because we have Nelson Agholor, who frankly works best in the slot, and so did Golden Tate. So why don't you keep Nelson, who's been here, who's been more productive in this system? Would I love to keep Tate, who's an elite yard after the catch wide receiver who is very good at picking up first downs when you need it? Absolutely. But it's a business. He could get upwards of, I say, $10 to $12 million on his final big money deal. For a team that has a lot of cap space, and there are a ton of them, I didn't even mention the Indianapolis Colts, who they were just in the midst of the playoffs. He wants to go to a winner. There are plenty teams around the NFL that are going to pay Golden Tate. I don't think he's going to end up back here, because I think there are other options in the draft and some cheaper options in free agency that they can go with. All in all, Golden Tate was essential in making the playoffs, but I just don't see it in the cards that he will be back this year. So Golden Tate is a go for me. Mike Wallace, we didn't see much of him this year. I would love to see him get into a steady game flow with Carson Wentz, allow him to take the top off of defenses. Frankly, it didn't work out. He got hurt in that Tampa game, ended up breaking his leg, never even got to see time with Carson. I ultimately think he does go in free agency because Mac Hollins, if he's alive, fits that role really well. Shelton Gibson, they still think he can develop into that field stretching role. There's been rumors that DeSean Jackson, if cut by Tampa, may want to come back. And you know that they had interest in a Robbie Anderson, who they might want to bring in with a cheap draft pick. There's plenty of options, like an Emmanuel Hall late in this draft. I think there are too many options at that field-stretching wide receiver position to bring back Wallace. You didn't see enough of him last year, but if you miss out on some of these names, if some of these names are too pricey, maybe he comes back halfway through the offseason, maybe early camp, who knows, if he doesn't find a suitor that he likes in free agency. But right now I'm saying Mike Wallace is a go. Next wide receiver is Jordan Matthews. Everybody was happy we got to bring him back last year. He had some big plays. He was playing a role that didn't really fit him on the outside. But frankly, they needed somebody to do that position, and Jordan Matthews came in off the street and filled it pretty well. He's another one that is a question mark on my board. I think ultimately he does stay in that depth wide receiver position if they can't find help in free agency or in the draft. I like what I saw out of him last year, but ultimately he still has catch issues. He is more of that slot wide receiver role that he doesn't fit as well on the outside. He's not the guy you want stretching the field. I think there are other options, cheaper options, that have a better skill set to stretch the field and more elusiveness than a Jordan Matthews would provide. But right now I'd say 51% stay, 49% go. He's about a split for me. But would I like to see J-Matt back? Of course, he was one of my favorite players the last couple years, but ultimately I think there are other options this team can pursue going forward. At the tight end position, Richard Rodgers is the only one. Going into free agency this year, you have Zach Ertz locked up, you have Dallas Goedert. I think this is a position you can really go cheap. I think Richard Rodgers, at his age and teams needing veteran tight end help around the league, I think he could get a better deal elsewhere. I don't think they're going to bring him back. I just don't think it's necessary to bring in a veteran tight end, especially at your deepest position on the field. Do you bring in a cheaper tight end, maybe a journeyman or a late UDFA? I think that's the route they're going to go. They can afford to go cheaper here because you have Ertz and Goddard up top. Top-heavy position, not too worried about it. Richard Rodgers, even though he barely played, he was a Philadelphia Eagle. Don't think he will be for too long. The final spot on the offense goes to somebody who barely even played this year and rarely played last year, and I don't think is going to have much of a future in the NFL going forward, and I think that's Chance Warmack. He was overpaid on the extension that we gave him. There's no way they can bring him back, especially with the emergence of Isaac Seumalo, how much this team loves Matt Pryor. I think there are other options. They need to go cheaper at these depth positions, something that they could afford while Carson was on a rookie contract. They're not going to be able to do that going forward. Chance Warmack, thank you for your rotational snaps in 2017, but your services are no longer needed. And that finishes up our preview of the Stay or Go edition on the offensive side of the ball. Come back right after the break and we will get into the defensive side of the ball and even a little bit of special teams, because you know we got a shout out to Jake Elliott and Rick Lovato for all that they've done for the team. So come on back and join me on segment two of this edition of Locked On Eagles. Welcome on back, everybody, to the second edition of this Monday, February 11th edition of Locked On Eagles podcast. Once again, I'm your host, as always, Gino Camilleri, and we're going to get into the defensive side of the ball here. Not as many names as the offense, not as many big names as I would say, but there are some key contributors that contributed the past 2 years for the season that probably are going to see their way out the door. three pretty big names. First, we're going to start at the linebacker position with Jordan Hicks. Came out today that Hicks says he's going to test the free agent market. And frankly, I don't blame him at all. It isn't the deepest class at linebacker in the draft. I know Kyle Krebs of the NFL Network said in his, it was either him or Trevor Sikkema, they said in their sweet spot, linebackers outside of the top three, you're going to be, dare I say, SOL or shit out of luck, because there's not much depth in this class. The free agent class isn't the best. So Jordan Hicks, who's been a contributor on Super Bowl winning teams, hasn't been the healthiest linebacker. That's why I'm not overly displeased that he would leave in free agency, because you need somebody to stay on the defense. You need a key contributor, a guy who's going to call plays for the defense, to be on the field for a majority of your snaps. And frankly, Nigel Bradham filled that role pretty well. And the way this team uses big nickel and big dime defenses, they don't really rely on linebackers outside of their top two. So what I saw out of Camus last year, I know me and Lou on Twitter today, we had a nice exchange. He said that he'd be fine with Camus, and frankly, I would be as well. They bring back Paul Warlow, who can take rotational snaps. You have Nate Gary still there. Not the best option, but there is still depth there. They play Malcolm Jenkins at linebacker a decent percent of the time, so I don't think this is a position to get overly upset about if Jordan Hicks does walk. I think there are cheaper options. There are some options in free agency that I like. Lou and I will discuss that coming up, but one name, Denzel Perryman. He was hurt last season for the Chargers, but he's a guy that could come in and contribute right away. As long as you have Nigel Bradham, I think you're pretty solidified at that linebacker position, but it is going to hurt if you lose Jordan Hicks. He has been reliable when he's on the field. You have to remember that. He's been out two out of his 4 years in the NFL and has been off the field a couple times throughout the seasons that he did play most of the time. So don't get too upset if he does walk in free agency. He could get a big payday from a team that needs a linebacker. So Jordan Hicks, ultimately, I think he is off this Eagles team moving forward. It will be sad to see, because he was such a gem of a third-round pick, but as always, it's a business decision, so Jordan Hicks, he is a go for me. Next to just rotational linebackers, DJ Alexander and Leroy Reynolds. DJ Alexander, I do think he walks in free agency, nothing more than a special teams guy. Unlike Leroy Reynolds, who can give you some rotational snaps on defense if you need, and is a good contributor on special teams as well, I think ultimately he is going to stay at that position because he's going to be a cheaper option. They're going to need depth at the special teams, have guys out there that can make tackles. And Leroy Reynolds, frankly, in my opinion, offers you more than a DJ Alexander would. So out of those three linebackers I mentioned, I think ultimately Leroy Reynolds is going to stay, frankly, because of his contributions on special teams. Moving to cornerback, we only got one name, as most of the guys are still on rookie contracts, which is great. Don't let the media fool you saying that the Eagles have a need at cornerback, because who are you going to get rid of, frankly? You have five guys on rookie deals. Rasul Douglas, he emerged great in the playoffs. They didn't even target him the last two games in the playoffs. The Bears and Saints stayed away from his side. Avante Maddox has been a versatile piece in this defense. You have Jalen Mills, who is going to come back. Who knows what he is going to do next year, but still, he won a Super Bowl for you. He is a solid piece. Sidney Jones, I'm waiting for his emergence. He's one of my guys. He's my brand. I can't wait for him to get healthy, have a full offseason. Hopefully the medical staff can do him some more favors than they did him last year with that hamstring. And I think this team is set at corner. Ronald Darby, I'm going to say he's going to be, I'm leaning go, like 60-40 go on this one, because we know how much cornerbacks garner in free agency. This team really can't afford it, and you have depth at young corner, so I don't think Darby is going to be on this team. The only way I can see it happening is if he comes back on a team-friendly deal after losing him for the season last year. But ultimately, I think Darby's going to walk away with a $10 to $12 million deal in free agency. I think he's going to go elsewhere, because there are plenty of teams that need good corners, and there are plenty of teams that are willing to pay them. So Darby is a go for me. Moving to free safety, the other secondary position. Easy decisions for me. Chris Maragos, Corey Graham. Maragos, didn't even see him on the field last year. I thought he would be a roster cut come last year, but I said it way back when we were talking about potential cuts come this time this year, and I said Maragos ultimately was going to be a cut. He surely will be a cut for this team coming up. Corey Graham, can't wait to see him get out the door as fast as possible because I like what I've seen out of Rodney McLeod, obviously. Love what I see out of Malcolm Jenkins. Like what I saw out of Avante Maddox, frankly, more than I liked out of Corey Graham. And you guys know how much I've been pounding the table for Nasir Adderley. I think there's other options in free agency that could be cheaper for that third safety position. There's Trey Sullivan, who you could keep at that third safety position. And ultimately, this draft has some depth at the safety position. So frankly, I think both of the safeties are a surefire out the door. See you later, Chris Maragos and Corey Graham. The most difficult decision for me is obviously on the defensive line. And I'll start with the easy one, Haloti Ngata. He's an aging veteran. He doesn't provide much of that pass rush at defensive tackle. I know this team, Jim Schwartz, loves to see his defensive tackles get upfield. That's just been their philosophy. You see a guy like Tim Jernigan, who gets after the quarterback more than a Haloti Ngata does. Ultimately, I think they want to go younger at that position because they're going to have to get maybe Tim Jernigan off the books, too, to afford this team to get under the cap. Who knows? But I think Ngata is a surefire go. And that leads us to the most difficult decision for me, and that is Brandon Graham. He is a go for me. You know, he said his goodbyes to the media. You saw that video come out that he was hugging all the media members. He's talked that you've heard him in interviews saying that if this is his last time here, that he thanks everybody for his time here, how great they were to him. And ultimately, the last couple weeks, it sounded like he knew his fate. There hasn't been much talks between him and Howie Roseman since the Super Bowl last year. You know that he said to Howie that he wanted him to get re-signed, and you haven't heard much in the positive of that facet. And I think it's just because they have so much depth there and so much youth that they can afford to see him go. This draft class, there's so many options, especially in free agency too. There was talk that they want to bring in an outside pass rusher, not name Brandon Graham in this class that is so deep with Jadeveon Clowney's and DeMarcus Lawrence's. I think there is a market for Brandon Graham. I don't think the Eagles can afford him in that market because there's teams like the Jets, like the Bills, like the Colts, like the Raiders that need pass rush help. And for a team that they drafted Derek Barnett, who is a key contributor the last 2 years and is going to be the pass rusher of the future, they have a Josh Sweat. They may be able to bring Chris Long back on a cheaper deal. You have Michael Bennett too. This draft class is going to be one of the best ever at the defensive line position. I just think Graham, he said he has to do what's best for his family. I think the best thing he can do right now is to go off, get a big contract, play somewhere that he wants to play. He ultimately deserves it. He was essential for this team winning a Super Bowl. He deserves everything in the world for taking less on his last contract. He deserves it to go out, get the payday, go grab the bag. Brandon Graham, you deserve it. Hardest decision for me, but ultimately I think BG is a go for me. Moving on to special teams, we got to touch them. You know they do. They're important. They put up points for this team. And Jake Elliott, frankly, he's going to be back on this team. He's an exclusive rights free agent right now. I think you've seen the kicking in the NFL. Cody Parkey, we saw him win us a playoff game because he missed. He hit the upright. He hit the double doink. I think Elliott, he's been consistent. Still can improve in that 31 to 41 yard range. But for a guy that can hit 50 yard kicks like they're going out of style, I think you bring Jake Elliott back. I think it's a good move for this team to bring him back, solidify that position until there's a better option, and I don't think there's a better option at that current point in time. Much like our good friend Rick Lovato, most gratefully known for his impeccable 40 time on the Jake Elliott 61 yard field goal in the walk-off against the Giants last year. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please go back and watch the video. Rick Lovato gets down the field before the ball is even in the uprights. It's pretty miraculous. But ultimately, after John Dorenbos walked away, they went cheaper at that long snapper position. I think Lovato comes back on a team-friendly deal. I mean, if you're making under $1 million, that's team-friendly for a long snapper. Ultimately, I think he is going to stay on the team. So that does it for this edition of Stay or Go. But when we come back, we're going to get into a couple under-the-radar names that might be cap casualties come before the beginning of the league year, maybe to get some money off their books. Who knows? But these are some guys. I'm going to throw out their names. They could be on the team next year. A couple of them may retire. A couple of them may be let go. But come on back as we finish up this edition of Locked On Eagles. Welcome back, everybody, to the final segment of this edition of Locked On Eagles Podcast. As always, I am your host, Gino Camilleri. And finishing up, I'm just going to throw out some names that could be potential cap casualties. I sprinkled a couple of them in throughout this edition. I talked about guys like maybe a Tim Jernigan, maybe a Jason Peters, who knows. But we're going to go down the list real quick and just go through these guys rapid fire. Tim Jernigan, outside of what they have in Fletcher Cox, there isn't much at that position outside of Trayvon Hester. I think this year, even though you could get $7 million off the books if you were to cut Tim Jernigan, if they don't find a guy up top in this draft that they like, which I highly doubt that they're not going to, with guys like Jeffrey Simmons that may be able to fall, maybe an Ed Oliver takes a fall in this draft, who knows, there's plenty of guys, Draymond Jones is of the world, there's much depth in this position at the defensive tackle position, but if they don't bring in one of these elite guys and they want to address the needs elsewhere, Tim Jernigan, I think he does come back. You saw how much of an impact he made when he was able to be on the field healthy. Who knows how much that back injury is lingering. Hopefully with a healthy offseason, he's able to get back to 100%, because I'd love to see him come back next year and frankly wreak havoc, because he is a bad, bad man. And especially up top with Fletcher Cox. And when Fletcher's getting double teamed, Tim wins those one-on-one battles. He's a reliable defensive tackle. But I'm going to lean stay for now. I'd say 75% stay. Only reason I could see him going is because you can clear $7 million if they aren't able to restructure a couple guys or cut a couple guys to get that cap number to where it needs to be. Moving on to Nelson Agholor. This is a name I just wanted to toss in there, because none of his money next year is going to be guaranteed under that option. I do think he is going to stay, because you're going to restructure him. He's a slot receiver that's, you just call a spade at this point. He doesn't flash on the outside. He does great things in the slot, but you can't pay a slot receiver upwards of $10 million. Why they're going to let Golden Tate walk is for that exact reason. I think you can restructure Nelson, give him maybe a 4-year, maybe $30 to $36 million range deal, maybe even less than that. If he wants to take a team-friendly, stay-at-home deal, I could see him being on this team for the next couple years. I think he ultimately will be on this team with a restructure, because they're going to have to restructure a lot of guys, and they're going to have to restructure guys that don't have much guaranteed money in their contract, because you can bring those cap hits down a lot. Ultimately, I think Agholor is here. Him and Alshon, once again, are that 1-2 combination to work with Carson Wentz. You saw how good they were in 2017 and the time that he was here in 2018 together. So I think those guys are going to go out to North Dakota, throw the ball around a little bit this offseason, and come back roaring and better than ever this time next year. Moving on, Jason Peters at left tackle. You can clear around $8 million if you cut him. I've been so up and down on wanting to bring Peters back, but just think about the last two seasons. The last three seasons, ultimately, he went out with a season-ending injury in 2017, 2016, and 2018. Even though he was in games, he did have to come off the field a lot, and with a cap number of where it needs to be, and a guy who, in the past, has been reluctant to restructure his contract, I ultimately think you have to let Peters walk, because I'll break it down. I'll give you two quick reasons. One, I think there are enough veteran free agents out there to bring in a guy on maybe a 1 or 2 year bridge deal until a Mailata or another tackle that you draft in this year's class, which frankly is a very decent class for tackles, and between the second and fourth round is right where they're going to need to be. Guys that can step in 1 and 2 years after they develop behind some veterans, and you have veterans in Lane Johnson who ultimately could move over to that position. And I think that's the reason number two is that you have a lot of versatility on your offensive line, to where the point that Peters at his age is expendable, and he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's going to have his number retired by the Eagles, but you have to say goodbye to some guys that you're not going to want to, and I think ultimately you have to move on from JP at that cap number this year. It's going to be tough to see him go, but I think you have to get younger at that position. You have to solidify Carson's blindside for years to come, and he's not going to be here past this year, and definitely not going to be here this time next year. $8 million off the books. Ultimately, I think JP is a go for me. Chris Long on the defensive end position. There's a lot of talk that he's going to retire. I'd probably say it's 60-40. He does retire, but at his age, He did provide some meaningful snaps last year, and I think he would be open to a restructure, maybe a release, and then a re-sign for a lesser deal. He fits that role, that third down pass rush specialist right now, that Dwight Freeney-esque role where they come in and contribute 4 to 6 sacks for the year. And if they don't get a guy in this class, which I highly doubt, and if they don't go out and get a premier free agent at the defensive end position, which they have talks of, I ultimately think he would be a guy that comes back, not right away in free agency, but maybe a June to July, right before camp type deal. Let him take off the offseason, let him rest up. But I'd say, in my opinion, he's 60-40 retire, but I'd say he's like a 55 to 45% that he does go. But I do think there's a chance that he can come back, but you can clear it over $5 million in cap, so I wouldn't be surprised if ultimately he was off this team next year. And the last name I'm going to mention, not a flashy name, but a consistent name, Stefan Wisniewski. You'd lose about $3 million on the cap, or decrease $3 million on the cap if he were to go. Ultimately, like I said with Chance Warmack, they have a lot of depth and praise for their younger offensive linemen and the Matt Pryors and the Isaac Seumalos. And I think if he doesn't restructure his contract, I ultimately think you have to let him go. Like I said earlier, you can't have that luxury of having much depth on these bigger contracts like you have had in the past. Now that Carson is going to get signed, Fletcher Cox deal isn't going down anytime soon. Elshon Jeffrey's deal isn't going down soon. So you're going to have to find areas to cut costs, those depth positions, those depth offensive linemen, those depth defensive linemen that have above $1 to $3 million contracts are going to have to come off the books sooner or later. I ultimately think they address that need in free agency, go out, find a cheaper deal, find a cheaper option in the draft, and Wisniewski is ultimately off this team come this time or opening day next year. So that's going to do it for me on this edition of Locked On Eagles. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Thank you for subscribing. Please leave us reviews. Give us some feedback. We're always open to it. We love to please you guys. We love to please our fans because, you know what? Nobody flies higher than the Eagles fans. You guys are the best. Thank you, as always, for listening. You catch me on Twitter at Gino_E. Find Lou at DiBiase, LOE. Find our Twitter account at Locked On Birds. And as always, find us on the Locked On Podcast Network. And thank you very much for joining me. Fly, Eagles, fly.